This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Yes. It is me and three gorgeous women this morning. There is no Ben ruining the mix. There's no there's no Sia coming in from the left field. It's me and Mabane Moloi. Good morning, Mabs.
Hello.
And I've got Amanda here. Yes, say hello, Amanda. Everybody knows Amanda Romberg. And Palesa, who's busy controlling things from the back. So we got a busy day today. It's Monday. There's lots of stuff going on. We got to talk about things, find out what everybody's up to. And hopefully it's also a week where we don't have a, you know, too much upheaval. Let me put that out there. I would like this week to be one of those weeks where nobody shouts and screams and no craziness happens. You know, it would be nice, wouldn't it? Maybe the politicians behave themselves.
Oh.
Is that too much to ask, Mubs? What do you think?
Well, I mean, I think you're setting yourself up for failure if you're looking to politicians to...
I tried.
Be well behaved.
It lasted all of 2 seconds, right?
Well, you know.
My fake optimism. All right, well, there's plenty going on. I bumped into Amanda over the weekend, actually. Mm. Yeah, Amanda. I was out on Friday night with some friends, and who walks in but Amanda?
Where?
Shock.
In four ways.
I left the East Rand for
she migrated from the East Rand. Look, I migrated from Pretoria. So clearly we met. And wow, it turned out to be quite a party night. But Amanda says that her friend lost her bag on the way home.
Mm.
That happens.
We had no house keys. I had no phone. Had her phone in her hand.
Yeah.
So then I was like, no, we can't lose a bag. Like, she's like, no, my bag. And it's this expensive thing. I was like, I don't care about the bag. I need the keys.
Right.
Because I honestly wasn't feeling well. So I said to her, we had to call the Uber driver back to come, like, see what's going on. And we checked in the car and it wasn't in the car. And then we found it in the bushes.
Mm. Oh, my gosh.
Which means you guys just lost it, right?
Yeah.
That's the embarrassing thing. Someone just, you put it down out of the car. In the bushes.
Like in, and it wasn't even like, you couldn't even see it. It was like these tall reeds and stuff.
Yeah?
It was terrible.
Fantastic. Yeah, at least you found it.
We bought the East Rand behavior, Sue.
I was just going to ask. You have to ask what was being done in the bushes that it ended up there.
But like, I didn't see her throw the bag. That's what we can't seem to understand. And in that night.
And nothing was missing, right?
No. Oh. Well, there was no money in it, unfortunately. Sorry. But then, like, we couldn't understand, like, what had been happening that night because we won a bottle of champagne, and I don't know how. So it was just a whole lot of mixing alcohol. It was actually quite a heavy night.
Sure. No discipline. And here we were thinking that you know, after your birthday, which was...
I thought I was going to chill.
Yeah. Look what happened.
No, it just got worse.
Anyway, I mean, it was a good night because I saw Amanda, which is always cool.
It was cool.
Yeah, there was... I went up with some friends of mine. Actually, one of them was up here from Cape Town, so I thought I'd better make an effort. But there's always some excuse. You know, if you want to go, you can make the excuse to go. If you don't, you don't. And I was sitting at home. It was 8:30 at night. I thought, I don't need to go anywhere. And then, damn it, I talked into it.
You just can't resist.
No, well, I mean, it's, yeah, you always have fun once you're there, but it's like anything. I get invited to stuff, and I hate going there. On the way there, I'm always like, I shouldn't have gone. But then when I get there, I'm fine. I keep trying to find a word for it. It's like most people get FOMO. Like they get upset that they didn't go.
Yeah.
And they wish they had gone to something. I have the opposite. I always wish in a moment that I've accepted an invitation. Oh, no, I should have said no.
No, I had FOMO. Like I was on set because Friday was a heavy night.
Mm-hmm.
So Saturday we were basically like man down. So and then... I went to a gender reveal, my first gender reveal I've ever been to.
What the hell's that?
So it's like, you know when you have pre-drinks before you go out?
Yeah.
It's a pre-baby shower, so they tell us whether it's a boy or a girl.
Oh, a gender reveal for the baby. I'm like, I suddenly imagined like Caitlyn Jenner comes out with a little curtain over a pelvic region and then
oh my God.
Pulls the string and the curtain opens. She goes, ta-da!
Oh, dear.
No?
So, like, I went to this gender reveal, and they were, like, I just wanted to
gender
be chilled.
Gender reveal? I've never heard of this.
It was my first one ever. It was quite cool.
Have you ever heard of this?
No. So, are you expected to bring gifts to this thing as well?
Well, I didn't think so, but everyone arrived with gifts, and I was like...
So, okay. So, now...
This is a fucking scam.
This is...
Yeah, this is the fourth thing you're going to have to pay for someone else's life.
So now I must take a gift to the gender reveal, and then I must take a gift to the baby shower.
Well, by the looks of it, because I thought we just show up at the gender reveal and they tell us and then we go. But everyone had like nappies and wet wipes.
I smell a scam here. All right, so you first of all, when people get engaged, they sometimes have an engagement party, right?
Yep.
Like if they're doing a big public engagement, then they have an engagement party.
That's where we're all together and then he goes down on one knee in some extravagant way and then she cries and it's lovely.
Exactly. Then you get the baby shower, the bachelors.
The nappy bras.
And let me remind you, these things can sometimes go on. Sometimes people take real liberties and make a whole weekend of it. So it's my weekend of bachelors. Bullshit. Then they want what you just mentioned, the nappy bra or whatever it is, and the baby shower.
Yep.
So the nappy.
And now that you're telling me they do a gender reveal party as well?
You know
it's insane. Like,
these people are up their own backside.
It's taken so seriously. I couldn't believe it. Like
not even counting the wedding, which you have to go to, and you have to spend the whole day there.
And then the kitchen tea, and then the bachelorette. There's like plenty of these things that come with it all.
I blame reality television for all of this. I blame those shows like Wags. Were you watching all these rich women married to athletes? And these are exactly the people who are doing these things.
Yeah,
gender reveal parties.
Because they have nothing to do.
Yes.
And they want attention.
Us normal people are trying to like top these people on Wags and all of that. So it's insane. Like I've seen on Facebook where it's just videos where they like put balloons in a box and then open the balloons. We'll open the box and then like blue balloons come out and then they're like, it's a boy. But this one was insane. Like, it was this big box, and they opened it, and like, just blue smoke just came out. It was just blue smoke everywhere.
It was all really well coordinated and arranged. It was a big deal.
It was a big deal.
They put thought and time into this.
But the problem is, the smoke from the from the box was really. It smelled so bad. So my friend had a baby, so she was covering her baby's face and. Everyone was complaining about the smell of the smoke.
Stink?
It was like worse than
like
gunpowder.
Oh, right.
Okay. Yeah, so it was that type of smell. But then, it was blue smoke, so everyone's like, it's a boy. So now, like, what do you say? I was just sitting there, people were like running up and hugging.
But also, what do you do after that? Does everyone just get drunk?
Oh, yeah, okay. So then I wanted to chill, but then there was like really nice gin there.
Great
gin. So then I didn't think they have alcohol at these baby things.
And I fell to my knees with the Holy Spirit crying the tears of joy.
Oh, I'm sure.
They need alcohol at all baby things.
So then, like, there was really nice vodka, really nice gin. That was great. Kept me going. And then there was a cake.
How do you tell the difference between nice and crap vodka? I can't tell the difference. Vodka all tastes the same. I haven't had it for years, but it's all the same.
If the bottle looks nice.
Oh, you mean if the bottle looks nice?
Yeah, then you know it's good.
Okay.
Yeah, so then... Yeah.
Marketing.
All right.
So then there was a... So now we know what the baby is. So now my friend and I are going to get a prize because we guessed right. Like, is there prizes? What's going on?
Yeah.
There's no prize. But then there was a cake. So now what do we do? Do we sing happy... I don't know. So I was just out of the cake equation because everyone was just standing there
it's a cake for the gender. It's a gender reveal cake.
And then the cake says, what the duck is it?
Oh, my God.
So, it was quite cool for first time.
Wow.
It's a gender reveal.
This is the first time I've ever heard of such a thing.
That's a lot.
A gender reveal. Man. Yeah, whatever happened to just being around your friends and having a fun time and someone says to you, hey, aren't you pregnant? You've got that kid coming, right?
Yeah.
They go, yes, I wouldn't have mentioned it, but we're having a kid. Oh, okay. Do you know whether it's a boy or a girl? Oh, yeah, it's a girl. Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to that? Now it has to be a big...
I find it's very, like, personal.
You gotta have this whole thing, this massive reveal, this massive announcement. You have to have a blue cake and blue smoke. And
you've got to mark the truly important events in your life, Gareth.
And it's quite a process. Apparently, you're supposed to go to the gynae, or I don't know if it's a pediatrician, whatever, yeah, where you find out what your baby is. You go there.
What your baby is.
And then
is it a monster? A monster.
Yeah. They're supposed to, I don't know, so say Mubs was my best friend. They're supposed to phone Mubs and be like, listen, it is a girl, but don't tell anyone. Oh. So you got to be the only person that knows. But I don't know why my friend found out.
Oh, okay. Let me understand this. So the parents go to the gynecologist. Yeah. Gynecologist finds out what the sex is. The parents don't get told. And then the parents invite a whole bunch of their friends to watch them be surprised at this gender. That's what this is about.
But then, like, my friend, I don't know why she
found
out.
So the parents don't know the gender.
The parents do not know the gender. They get surprised at the reveal.
But they should just wait till the baby's
born. So that
born.
Is the point of this whole thing.
Yeah, well, a generation ago, you didn't know what the gender was until the kid came screaming out of there, because there was no way to tell. We didn't have sonar and all that stuff before. I mean, I don't know if my parents knew I was going to be a boy. I don't think so. I think they only found out when I was born.
Yeah, I think back then they really were just winging it.
But you know what? I can't help thinking that it's commercial. Like, I can't help thinking that someone along the way went, well, if we can get parents to know the gender of their kid before it's born, then we can get them to buy pink or blue stuff in advance, which is what a lot of parents want to do.
Yeah.
I reckon that's what happens.
So,
because it's expensive, because then you've got to then kit out this room for this boy or girl. And you know how some people go over the top. I mean, you could put the kid in a white or a brown or a yellow room. It wouldn't make a difference. But some parents, like, it's really important that the blue or the pink comes in there.
Yeah, I do think that stuff's important.
You do?
Yeah, but I just,
You know, the gender activists would be down your throat for that. They'd say, oh, but you're forcing a gender onto this child. You don't know whether their sex might be male, but they might be female.
That's why they're
gender fluid.
They refer to their children as it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Because they don't want to call it him or she.
And they think that that's a good thing. And it's a lot less kind of them imposing their ideas on their kid.
Yeah, no, so I don't know. I went to that and then my mom also didn't know what it was. So I was explaining to her. So I was like, you know when we all gather here and then we go to Nikki Beach? I was like, it's like that. It's the pre-drinks.
Is that how you explain it to
like,
your
mother?
Yeah,
it's the pre-drinks, you know.
That's funny.
The pre-baby shower.
Yeah, well, I think people are just, they're trying to find more occasions to make it about them.
And get gifts.
And get gifts. Make it about me. How can I make, I'm about to have a kid. This is easily, for most people, it's the most important thing in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can understand. It's a big deal for them.
Yeah.
The rest of us don't give a damn. But we pretend, we go along and be like, it's so great that you're having a kid. You don't care though. Your life's going to be the same. You don't.
No, well, I mean, look, if it's a family member, then...
Yeah, sure, that's different.
You know, maybe you do care a little bit.
But your friends, not really. You're not that into their kids. They are. They're massively into their kids. So they need another reason to get to... And maybe it's also because they know that once the kid is born, there are no more parties like that.
No.
Because your life goes into a circle of hell for a little while. While the kid's a baby, you don't sleep.
But then I had friends there who were like, okay, so when we have the second one, like, are we going to have another gender reveal? And then I was just like, no, I don't think it's necessary. No, we can all just...
There's Amanda pouring water on their plans.
You can just tell us when the baby's out. It's fine.
I don't care anymore. Wow. We had fun on Friday. We were at the Lifestyle Home and Garden Center. And the Just Now comedy show was there. Sex Talk. Yeah, I know.
Did they behave?
They were all very well behaved. Mabali, I saw a bonsai tree. I don't know if you like these things or not. Maybe you're one of those people who doesn't care about bonsai trees. I still don't know a lot about them.
People are quite serious about them, I've heard.
Yeah, there's some people who get very, very serious about them. Some of these trees are like 100 years old.
Aren't they very pricey as well?
Yeah.
Well, there was a 25-year-old tree. I put it on Instagram, but then you never go on Instagram, so I'm going to show you.
Okay.
All right? This thing is 25 years old. I think it was selling for about 4,500 rand.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and but it's a beautiful tree. I mean, it's really magnificent. There's no other way to put it. It's the kind of thing that if you, I mean, you walk past it and it almost looks like it's a magical thing. It looks like it should be an Avatar or something. You know, it looks like that tree in Avatar.
I've actually got a friend that goes to bonsai lessons.
Yeah.
And he's like, do you want to come? I was like, no.
You have to learn how to prune the trees, what you feed them. Because they live in that one pot for like 25 years. That would be like growing a human. You know how those Japanese people, they put those women in the shoes and then their feet go all small?
Geishas?
Yeah, that's it. Thank you. I knew you would know. Wow. Their feet get all small and they basically like belong to someone for their whole life, like a slave. It's like a bonsai human. Yeah, it's like a bonsai human.
Oh.
They bind their feet. You must look that stuff up. That's cruel. But in this case, these trees are treated better than any plants I've ever seen in my life. And people walk past them and they... I mean, Greg was showing me. He was like, look at this beautiful one. I have a bougainvillea, those pink flowers. But it's little. And it's in this little pot. And it looks just beautiful. It's like wooden and... You could see it's been around a long time. It's like at least 10, 15 years.
Wow.
You think about that. That tree probably gets more attention than most...
People's dogs.
Yep. Yeah, people's animals or even their children in some cases.
Well, I mean, if you're going to have the thing around for 25 years...
It's amazing.
It might as well be a child.
That's like a quarter of a century with this little tree in a pot. But it's beautiful. And I suppose if you're really into it, then this tree probably has pride of place in your house, like there in the entrance hall as you walk in, you know, on a table all for itself. And it's kind of it gets exactly a certain amount of water every week and the food. And, you know, these things are impressive. I always admire, and it's one of the things about the Japanese that I really like, is they make everything as beautifully and as perfectly as they can. They take enormous trouble. Remember when Randall was in here and he told us about that sushi that he went all the way to Tokyo for?
Yeah.
He said he went to this place in Tokyo, which is at the fish market. So nothing fancy. You sit down at a bar counter. You don't get a table. You get your chopsticks. You get the tiniest little amount of soy sauce. So no big dipping the whole thing in there. You know how most people, think... We eat sushi like peasants. We none of us have any idea. If we went to Japan and ate like that, they'd throw us out of the restaurant. And then you, little bit of wasabi. And then in between, you're meant to have the ginger, not with the sushi. I like putting it with the sushi because I'm a Philistine.
Well, because you saw someone doing it and then you thought, oh, that's how it's meant to be done.
Right. I had no idea. I'm an idiot. Anyway, he said that they make the rice. Even the rice is just the most perfect rice. Now, who thinks about that?
Yeah.
See, the Japanese, there's probably one guy, this chef, who spent his life studying sushi. And he chooses a fish. And apparently, the owners of these restaurants, they go and they buy like one fish for like $40,000.
Jeez.
Because it's the best fish. That's how much they care about this stuff. And they're bonsai trees. I have such admiration for that. It's a life of dedication for one thing to be perfect. Man, I love that. That is human evolution at its pinnacle, where someone is able to be the expert, the best at one very particular thing. That gives me such a thrill. Don't know what it is. Maybe it's because I've never mastered anything in my life to that degree.
I think it all takes so much patience, though.
Yeah.
Especially the bonsai thing. Massive. Because it's not going to show results every day.
I mean, you're going to wait 25 years to get a tree like that one that I put on Instagram. 25 years? I can't even wait 5 minutes when I'm hungry for a meal. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, this is taking too long.
So I had a friend that was like, oh, do you want my bonsai? So I was like, I'm not into that stuff at all. I was like, I'll ask another friend that I know who's into it. And he was like, how much does she want for it? And I was like, no, she just wants to give it away. Like, he's like, you can't. You got to sell it and get it like evaluated and all this stuff.
Wow. Yeah, I suppose.
It's quite serious.
But I'm proud of you for not saying, yeah, I'll take it and then killing it.
Yeah, no, I would have not lost
it. Remember Flax had a bonsai here? It lasted about 3 weeks.
Wasn't it a cactus, guys?
No, there was a bonsai.
If it was a cactus, it wouldn't have died.
Mm. No, it was a bonsai and it didn't make it. Anyway, we had fun on Friday. It was a really good time. And I've met up with Sunil Osman, who's he's on one of our shows here. And he was cool to talk to. Jane was there. She and Kelman were busy plant shopping because they're going to be making their own garden here. You know how that's going to go.
Well, it's...
a lot of shouting.
Yes, a lot of instructions being issued by Jane. And
right. Exactly. And we'll take your thoughts this morning. If you want to WhatsApp us, 0797482090. If you want to call us, you can call us on 0861555189. A little bit of housekeeping. Sia is on holiday for this week. He'll be back next Monday. And Ben is, he took an extra long weekend. I think he and Daniela went somewhere special. He told us all last week that he was planning this and that they'll be back. Well, he'll be back tomorrow. So everything back to normal tomorrow. By the way, Anthea's not even in today. That's why I thought, you know what? What a great excuse to have Mabale and Amanda and Balesa. And by the way, instead of Anthea this morning, we're going to have Selejo, who you've met before as well. He works with Anthea, so he knows all of this. He's going to be talking to us about mining and all their reporting. He's going to be talking to us about... there was some diesel ruling that was postponed that's had effects on the market. He'll also mention, from a real expert's point of view, Mubs, what Kylie Jenner's tweet meant to Snapchat and look at the numbers there. And Warren Buffett, who's the second richest man in the world, released his shareholder letter on Saturday, and people read this like it's the Bible.
Sure.
You know?
He is their messiah.
Correct. So we'll find out from Selejo what's going on over there. And
you did mention that Justice is not here today, right?
Justice is not in today. We're going to do the burning platform on Thursday. So we got lots of stuff that we have to move around this week. But I know it upsets people. People don't like change. People don't like it when things aren't exactly what they expected. So I'm letting you know ahead of time, all right? Now you know. So just quickly before we get to Mubs and the five things you need to know today, everybody's talking about the budget last week, and you know there's a lot that's going up. One plan's motto is to put healthcare back into the hands of the people. Who are the people? You're the people. One plan offers health insurance that is more affordable for South Africans. You get to choose what you need when you need it. This is brilliant. You know, they used to just make insurance this kind of one thing fits all, and everybody just had to put on that same insurance and use it. Well, these guys are figuring out ways to make it individual. With so much to budget for, make sure your health isn't compromised. For effective health insurance from as little as 330 Rand per month, that's good value. SMS Health to 31644. And just, you know what, do me a favor. Call them up just to find out. I know you've got a busy day today. You've got lots to do. If you haven't got adequate health care and health insurance, you need to make sure that you're looked after. Last thing you want is to have to depend on the state to sort you out if you have health issues, because you will get worse and things will not end happily. You need to get this stuff sorted out. 31644 is the number to SMS the word health to. And when one plan calls you back, you can ask all the questions, determine the best coverage for you at the best prices. That's 31644 and SMS health. Mubs, what are the five things we need to know today?
All right, let's begin with prosecutors who have analyzed former President Jacob Zuma's representations to avoid his day in court. They have recommended that all charges against him be reinstated.
Ooh, this is a big story.
Yes, a team of five senior prosecutors unanimously recommended on Friday that Zuma face all charges that were previously withdrawn against him. They are believed to have signed a memorandum, which was then handed over to NPA boss Sean Abrams on Friday, informing him of their recommendations. Zuma is expected to face 18 charges of corruption, money laundering, racketeering. These originate from the 783 questionable payments he received. Huh. Remember, for a while, we thought it was 783 charges, but then Justice explained to us that no, it's not actual charges. It's just payments that are in question. So they're recommending that all 18 charges be reinstated. And this could be the first of several legal battles faced by Zuma, who was recently forced by the ANC to resign. So he's expected to be the central focus of an upcoming commission of inquiry into state capture.
Do you smell that? You know what that is? That's the president suddenly developing a terminal illness. That's what that is. Like his friend Shabir Sheikh did.
Oh yeah, shame.
Remember? As soon as he got as soon as he was on his way to prison, I got a terrible heart.
Yeah.
Oh, and then what do you know? As soon as they release him, he's playing golf and having a fun time.
Funny that, you know, how one's health can swing like a pendulum like that.
Well, let me tell you, you send me to prison, I'm going to suddenly develop a whole lot of heart problems as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. That it's not the best recommended environment for anybody's health.
No. But look, I smell something suspicious here, I've got to be honest.
Okay. So now the country is waiting for President Cyril Ramaphosa to appoint his deputy president, as well as make changes to the cabinet. The ANC saying that its top officials will move with speed to deal with the issue to avoid creating anxiety. The party's highest decision-making body met in Irene at their favorite place on Sunday.
What is it, that St. George Hotel? I want to go there. I'm going there today. I'm going to go and check it out.
Nice.
No, it's awful. It's disgusting. It's got these driveways with marble on them.
And the driveways are also too long.
What is that all about? Granite marble. I mean, who owned that place? Who built that horrible place? But the ANC, they love it.
Maybe it's the...
Someone who knows, please tell us. Call me and tell me what the hell's going on there.
Maybe it's the food at the
hotel. They have a strip club at the back?
Well, you know, I'm pretty sure there are tons of stories to tell about that hotel.
That's very diplomatically put.
The party has appointed former KZN chair Senzo Mkhunu as head of the organizing and campaigns at Luthuli House.
No.
Zizi Kodwa was... nominated, or rather will be responsible for monitoring and evaluation in the office of the president. Now, both of these positions are full-time at Luthuli House. A lot of people are saying, yes, Mr. President, but when? When are you going to reshuffle that cabinet? And while we're on the matter, who is your deputy? Well, the ANC saying, everybody just calm down.
Yeah, because you see, we've got this guy, this Didi Mabuza, who's from Mpumalanga. He's a dodgy guy, this. Very dodgy. They say a whole lot of very strange and not necessarily savory things happened under his watch in Mpumalanga when he was premier there. He was a member of that Premier League. Who knows who he's involved in with old Ace and Supra. These are not good people. And when he won the deputy president position in the ANC, everybody went, oh, surely not. We know Cyril didn't really want him. Cyril wanted, I think, Naledi Pandor originally, and then he wanted Lindiwe Sisulu. She gave the most uninspiring, dull, dead speech in Parliament the other day, Lindiwe, so she might be off the cards. It seems very odd. But usually the ANC's already elected their deputy president, so who would be the deputy president of the country? Didi Mabuza. But you see, he's such a bad human being. They have to reconfigure things. Let's see what happens here. It'll tell you who's in charge.
Indeed. And then tomorrow, a Boeing 737 is going to be transported to Four Ways Mall because, you know, that's not going to put a dent in traffic anyway.
I saw this on the Edenvale little crime community group thing.
You read
I thought
that?
It was nonsense.
You and read that stuff? What, actually, are you getting SMS?
No, we have this WhatsApp crime group.
You're on the WhatsApp crime group, Amanda?
Yeah, that's another story for another day.
Oh, okay. You've got to be kidding.
It's going to...
She's on the crime group.
Yes, well, you know, Neighborhood Watch and all that stuff. Lives on social media now.
Right.
So this plane is going to travel between Johannesburg and Pretoria tomorrow, potentially affecting traffic on the busy route, according to organizers. So motorists are being advised of potential traffic delays between 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., because that's how long it will take.
What?
Affected
that's
areas.
That's outrageous.
It is outrageous. Affected areas include Jet Park, Isando, Klerkdorp, Midrand, Dainfern, and Four Ways. Because, you know, Four Ways and traffic on any day, really. It's just that's such a pleasure to be
in. I want to know who the genius is who thought it would be a good idea to put a plane through Four Ways. Already traffic there is hell.
The plane is being transported for the launch of Kidzania in South Africa.
Ugh.
Kidzania is a Mexican chain of indoor entertainment that comprises mini cities built inside malls.
for children.
It will be located within Fourways Mall. And that mall right now is, it's basically like a battleground because they've been busy with construction since, I don't know.
Since you were a five-year-old.
No. That would have been hundreds of years ago. But this is going to be such a mess. Anyway, that's all expected to happen tomorrow. A whole entire Boeing 737.
That is the dumbest idea. Whoever came up with that idea needs to be taken into the street and we all get to throw fruit at them. Someone's on the line. Who's this? Hey, good morning.
Morning, Gareth. It's Lindsay. How are you?
Good. What's up?
You wanted to know what it is about St. George Hotel.
Yeah. You know something about this place?
I do actually quite well, but the driveways aren't marble anymore. They've actually tarred over it now, so you don't slip and slide as you go down it anymore.
Yeah, because that was the dumbest idea. I always thought, in the rain, you'd slide off the driveway.
It was a cost thing, I think, back in the day.
Okay, so tell me about that hotel, because I've been there once. I did a function there. It wasn't for the ANC.
It's actually been revamped in the last 5 to 10 years. It really isn't that bad anymore. The younger generation of the family took over it, and they've redone it. So go have a look. It's not that bad as what it used to be back in the day. You're not going to
sure. No, no. It might be beautiful. I'm not saying it isn't. In fact, I'm sure it's pretty damn fine. Otherwise, the ANC wouldn't go there. But do you know why they like it so much?
The buffet. And all you can eat buffet.
And all you can eat buffet. Is that what it is?
And all you can eat buffet. You should see it. It's tasty. It's everywhere.
Wow. All right. Maybe that's a reason to go. All right. Mubs and I are going to go and spend an evening there. We'll both book a room. Hey, Mubs?
Sure.
No, I don't know if I do that.
Sounds like you know even more.
What can you tell us?
I do, yes.
Are you holding out on us? Come on. Give us the full story.
No, it's a hell of a lot better than what it was back in the day.
All right.
It really, really is. But it's all you can eat these days. That's what it is.
All right. Thank you.
Awesome. There we go. Have a good day.
And you behave yourself, all right?
Always.
Yeah, I don't believe it for a second. She knows stuff.
Yeah, she knows a lot more.
She's not telling us everything, right? But we're happy to accept that.
Yeah.
All right, there we go. A bit of intel. I don't know about this. Why do people want to add to traffic? Do they understand?
It's around Jet Park. People are going to miss their flights.
Well, where do you think they're going to bring a plane from, Amanda? From, like, Kimberley?
No, but that's ridiculous. Go
so you
way.
Are going to be inconvenienced?
Yeah, no, I can't go anywhere.
A whole lot of people are going to fight. Let me explain to someone who's... Maybe you're in Cape Town or in Durban or... you're listening to us somewhere else in the world. You're in Kandahar in Afghanistan. Let me tell you something.
Sure.
Traffic in Johannesburg is the thing that makes people more unhappy in Johannesburg than anything else.
Yeah.
By far. By far. People actually would love their lives at least 25 to 50% more if they didn't have to deal with morning and afternoon traffic.
Yeah.
It's hell on wheels in a black dress.
Mm.
And you go away to avoid traffic. Like 2 years ago, I went to Cape Town for the August.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I was here. So I was like, people were like, this is so crazy. I was like, we have traffic like this right. all the time.
Do people, if you come up here from some other part of the country or the world, you don't expect the kind of traffic you get in New York or Sao Paulo, but you get it. People drive huge distances in Johannesburg, and they do it every single day, and they sit there in that traffic, and they look around them, and all you see is miserable people.
Very miserable.
Well, because they hate the fact that they're stuck there. They could be doing 100 other things.
Mm.
And then some genius in a company that's trying to build, playgrounds for kids or something, they're busy sitting in a marketing meeting, and you could just see it. Some ad agency person goes, I've got a great idea. Everybody goes, oh, tell us, Janice. And Janice says,
and didn't you say it was Mexicans?
I said it was a Mexican.
Like I said, Juanita, tell us what your idea is. So Juanita goes, hey, I've got an idea. And then they say, what's your brilliant idea? Why don't you tell us? And she goes, we are going to put a Boeing 737 on a truck. And we are going to bring it into the shopping mall in Fourways. The closest goddamn airport to Fourways is what? Lanseria? It's not exactly up the road. Driving I must see this Boeing on my trip. If I get stuck in traffic because this goddamn stupid plane, I'm gonna be the. I'm gonna go to that kids thing, and I am going to stand outside, and I'm gonna cause chaos.
Okay, I really didn't want you to say anything that you would incriminate you.
No,
there.
I'm not gonna get into any terrorist shit, Mubs. Don't you panic. But I may just pick up some dog shit from Carl at home.
Oh.
Who knows? Anyway, how dare people do this? It's hard enough being in Johannesburg and dealing with traffic.
Without watching an entire plane being dragged through traffic into a mall.
Right. I love this. Did you hear this? You guys know about this? The ZANU-PF Youth League Secretary, Pupurai Togarepi, he's the Youth League Secretary for ZANU-PF. Do you know how old he is?
Oh, maybe late 20s?
54. Youth League Secretary. He's 54.
I don't know. Well, maybe they age at a different rate in...
In Zim?
Yeah.
All right, we'll take your word for it. All right, everybody, let's get stuck into... We don't have Ben here with some sport this morning, and I see Selejo is waiting to tell us all about what's going on with our money, and with particularly after Budget Week, the different companies that are reporting, what sort of things he's looking at on the stock market. So come on in here, Selejo. Nice to see you, dude. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. You always look so smart and like wide awake and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed for a Monday morning. Teach me how.
I'm just excited to see you guys. You know, well, I don't get to come in often, so.
Yeah, we get to see you every now and then. And when Anthea allows you to come and see us, you know.
Look, it's difficult to stand in for her. That's a tough act to follow, but we try.
You do very well. We're not worried about that. So you've got a lot of things on your agenda. I saw a couple of stories about mining companies reporting.
Yes.
Shall we get straight into it?
Sure, yes. All so right. We had the three big mining giants reporting this week. That's Anglo-American, Billiton, and Glencore. Right. And earnings growth was pretty significant for all three of them, about 50%, 40%, and 25% for those three companies.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that's...
We were talking 2-3 years ago, and in fact, you were in here once or twice when we spoke about it, that mining stocks were just not something dependable, and that we didn't see much of a future for them. Because the margins are so narrow now, it's costly to mine, it's hard to run a mine, to manage it effectively, you've got staff, you've got the danger of working underground at high temperatures and pressures. So a lot of people were not particularly bullish about mining.
Definitely.
Sounds to me like it's a good business to be in.
I think they're definitely boom-bust businesses.
Right.
And 2-3 years ago, they were probably in the bust cycle or phase of the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, they've been focusing a lot on paying down debt and just paying dividends to shareholders, essentially. And they've been bailed out as well from higher commodity prices. So I think it's been a bit fortuitous in that sense, in the sense that if commodity prices remained low, some of these companies would have been in a really tough spot.
Yeah, I'm very interested in that because who knows with commodities whether they're going to go up or down? And you can't really predict these things. Yeah. I mean, gold, you know, Anthea has her problems with gold. She always talks about how it's for pirates. but that could be true for platinum and for nickel and for all these other metals. You don't know what they're worth. You have to pull them out of the ground. It's expensive to refine them. So you never know. You could end up making a huge loss or a massive profit, depending on what people are prepared to pay for them.
The truth is that the CEOs of these companies don't even know what the price of these commodities are going to be in 6 months.
Sure.
Of course, everyone has a view and you try to, you know, look at the fundamentals, but no one can tell you for sure.
Right. So tell me about what's going on with, like Glencore, for example. I mean, what are they producing a lot of?
So they're producing quite a bit of cobalt, and this is a very interesting story at the moment.
Yeah.
As the world moves towards electric cars, the world's going to need a lot more cobalt. At the moment, the world is producing about 100,000 tons of cobalt a year.
Do you know much about cobalt, Mubs?
No, not nearly enough, no. Not anything that my mind has retained since back in the days of chemistry and physics and that stuff.
Well, as we start driving electric cars, we're all going to become a lot more familiar with cobalt.
Yeah.
I guess the forecast is for the amount of cobalt that the world needs to triple, or actually just for what electric cars to need to triple the demand. And the price of cobalt has tripled in the last 2 years. So I guess you could say that perhaps the price has gotten ahead of fundamentals a little bit. But I think that's a very good example of how some of these companies could potentially grow from what they're currently doing at the moment.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is an interesting metal because it doesn't occur in its natural state, so it's usually combined with iron and other things. But it's got some interesting compounds, and obviously what you're talking about is the fact that it has these interesting electrical properties too. So I think it's very magnetic. But when you use a little bit of cobalt in glass, it goes very blue. So it used to be used just for stupid stuff like that. It makes interesting compounds. As I said, it can be very colorful in terms of its salts. So if you get different kinds of combinations, compounds of cobalt and other metals and other elements, you get these amazingly colorful salts, like very bright pink and dark blue and all these kinds of things. But as you say, the main application here is going to be in electric cars. I assume also for batteries.
Yes, and I think one of the reasons why the price has spiked and could spike some more is that about 60% of it comes from the DRC.
Oh.
And so it's obviously very difficult to operate in that country given what's happening politically.
All right. So it's a great thing for Glencore then?
Yeah, yeah. And potentially it's a bad thing for the platinum industry. And last week we had a ruling, or I guess the delayment of a ruling for the auto sector. They're saying that essentially they want to ban diesel cars in some German cities.
Mm-hmm.
And if this happens, then it's likely that other major cities across Europe are going to adopt this. They've delayed that ruling, but this is terrible potentially for our platinum industry.
Right.
Because over 40% of platinum goes into cars.
All right. Well, we've been talking about those catalytic converters for ages, and it doesn't seem to have knocked the platinum price so far down that it's suddenly a cheap metal.
No, I wouldn't say so.
Okay. Let's just talk quickly about the diesel ruling. That's the one that you just mentioned now in
yes.
Germany. Does this mean they're going to ban all diesel cars?
No. So essentially, it would be sales of new cars, and it wouldn't incentivize BMW, VW, Daimler to keep producing diesels. But essentially it would stop the production and sale of new cars from a certain date. Okay. So for example, I think Paris has said by 2040, they want diesel cars to not be sold in Paris.
One of our mining companies, Sibanye Gold, often Anthea will say that this is, if she's going to buy mining stocks, it'll be in this company, but they didn't have such a great result.
Yeah, they had
like down 16% or something.
Yeah, they reported on Thursday the share was down 16%.
Yeah.
And it's a combination of them taking up a lot of debts to buy other companies.
Mm-hmm.
And also the strong rand has really hurt them because their sales of gold and platinum are denominated in dollars. So a stronger rand's not great for their bottom line.
All right. But Sibanye, I mean, they also bought a whole bunch of mines in the last year or two.
Yes, they've bought a ton of mostly platinum companies. The biggest one but the latest one was Lonmin.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest one was actually Stillwater in the United States. That produces a lot of palladium, which goes into gasoline cars.
Wow, look at he's a chemist as well as being an expert on these companies. You have to be. You have to know everything, Salejo. And by the way, he's not working off any notes. He's just talking here. Like, this is all in his head. He knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
I suppose you live, eat, breathe, sleep this stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah, you have to, which it's interesting because it's always changing as well. So it does keep things interesting.
Can you imagine how annoying it is for Salejo when he goes to a party and everybody's saying to him, what should we buy? What should we sell? Charge people money. You should say to them, give me some assets to manage and we'll sort that out.
It's mostly questions on Bitcoin.
Really?
At this point. Yeah.
Okay.
Those crypto freaks.
Okay, let's talk about the actual stock market for a second. Discovery also reported on Tuesday.
Yes. On
what's going on there?
On face value, it doesn't look particularly cheap. It's about a 26 PE, but that's because investors are paying up for growth. So this year, they're supposed to be launching the Discovery Bank. They're live testing it at the moment. They spent about 1.5 billion rand on this initiative.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think at this point, most investors would probably say, look, on face value, it doesn't look cheap, but they've definitely got growth drivers in that business.
All right. You think it's worth buying now? You said it's a bit expensive?
I would probably look for a better entry point. So look for the share to come under some pressure and then look to enter there.
All right. Zara is one of these companies that it's really a phenomenon. It's made the man who founded it very, very wealthy.
Yes.
Because what they do is they manufacture these clothes super cheap and they sell them super cheap, but they sell a lot of them.
Yes.
So tell me about Zara, because they're also in the news at the moment.
The share was down 7% on Friday. It wasn't on any news, so the company didn't actually report. But it looks like what's happened is they're supposed to report early in March.
Mm-hmm.
And their biggest competitor, H&M, has been under massive pressure over not just recently, but actually over the past couple of years. And that's a result of online companies such as ASOS, where it's just an online offering. That's put them under a lot of pressure. But we also have companies like Primark, which is a decent offering in terms of quality, but at a much cheaper price. That's also put pressure on H&M. And now investors are starting to worry that, well, hey, maybe Zara's also going to be struggling to deal with this kind of competition.
All right.
So that share was down 7%, essentially because investors are getting nervous ahead of results.
Okay, so we should watch that one carefully.
Yes.
My buddy mentioned this in the news the other day about Kylie Jenner knocking Snapchat's price down just because she said she's not interested in being on there anymore. Is this how fragile these companies are when it comes to having those major, I suppose, these celebrities? You could call them the whales of social media.
I think so. I think this is a very good example of perhaps a share to avoid, in the sense that you look at Snapchat and you wonder, well, what's their competitive advantage?
Right.
Instagram, which Facebook owns, essentially took that concept of stories, and you could say perhaps they stole it, but they took it and they just ran with it.
Yeah.
And people are now saying, well, why do I need to be on Snapchat? I can just do the same thing on Instagram.
Absolutely. Well, what do you think of that, Amanda, as our resident millennial?
I like Snapchat, though.
What's Snapchat useful for that Instagram can't do?
Like the little filters.
Is that it?
Make you look good, yeah.
All right.
See? They matter a lot, those filters.
We'll see how that Kylie Jenner looks when she doesn't have her filters.
Exactly. So let her leave Snapchat and then we'll see.
Exactly. How dare she? So it hit the price of that by what, 6%?
Yeah. So Jesus. It lost about $1.3, I believe, $1 billion after that tweet.
Can you imagine how the board feel? They have to watch Kylie Jenner. Do you know how embarrassing that is? The board of a major company worth billions of dollars has to pay attention to the Kardashians to watch their own share price. It's outrageous.
Mm.
It's outrageous, but perhaps you could argue that they should have gone to the likes of the Jenners and the Kardashians and said, hey, we've got this update coming out.
Have some shares.
Well, I wasn't going to say have some shares, but perhaps, you know, how do you feel about it?
Yeah.
You know, they could have just got their...
Canvassed them a little.
Yeah, yeah, ugh. Just, you know, suck up to them a little bit.
Right, okay, yeah. You see, he's smart. This is why Salejo is going to make more money than you and me, Mubs.
Yeah, this is true.
Well, last thing, speaking of making lots of money, Warren Buffett, he's the Oracle of Omaha. This guy's the second richest man in the world. He puts out a shareholder letter every now and then. What does he say at the moment? What is that old man talking about?
So he's saying, well, it's not so much what he's saying, but it's what he's doing or not doing. His company has $116 billion of cash and short-term bonds at the moment. So it suggests that he thinks that the market is probably a little bit expensive if he's got that much cash, I guess, in the company rather than invested in the stock market or invested in other companies. And so it's a good hint as to where he thinks the stock market is now and where he thinks valuations are.
All right. So does he have any interesting observations? Like, you know how old people get? Maybe the kids were walking on my lawn. I don't like that. Or does he make this just about business?
It's pretty much just business with Uncle Warren.
Famously, he doesn't invest in things that he doesn't use himself.
Yeah.
So, and he's a pretty old school guy. I mean, he you know, buys into things like Coca-Cola and mining shares and resources and that kind of thing.
So, he's talking about how he actually regrets not investing in Google a few years ago, because one of his major subsidiaries, Geico, at the time when Google was kind of a bit of a younger company, was... Mm-hmm. Geico was spending a lot of money on Google to advertise, right? Because they spend a lot of money on advertising, and Google was one of the major online advertisers. And each of those ads costs Google nothing in terms of the marginal cost, but they're able to charge a fortune for them. And he's talking about how, you know, he should have acted and should have bought it at the time, but because he's just not that familiar with technology, he stayed away.
Are those shares for his company, Berkshire Hathaway, are they still some of the most expensive in terms of their price?
Yes. So there's two classes. There's an A class and a B class. The A class, the price is about $300,000 at the moment.
You imagine for one share, Mubs? Mm.
So I guess about 3.5 million rand. But then there's also a B class, which is it's a bit more, it's a bit cheaper. It's about $200. So that's for the everyday person to.
Yeah, well, that's for us if we're lucky enough to even get into that. But the interesting thing, and I think here Salejo is going to blow your mind. How much cash do you think that company, Berkshire Hathaway, is sitting on at the moment?
Oh.
How much spending money do they have in order to buy other shares and invest in other companies and in future businesses? And what do you think their cash pile is?
Gosh, I'm going to say in the tens of millions, hundreds of millions.
Keep going.
A bit higher.
Oh, my goodness.
A lot higher.
Oh, okay, no. Billions.
Yeah.
Okay.
Keep going.
Hundreds of billions?
Yes.
Yo.
They've got what, 116. $116 billion in cash sitting around that they're waiting to invest in companies.
It is quite mind-boggling.
Sure. But it also, I mean, if they're sitting on cash rather than putting it into the stock market.
What does that tell you?
Exactly.
Yeah. So I think it does tell you that he probably thinks things are a bit expensive at the moment.
Whew. Does that mean that he also thinks that it might all come down at some point?
It seems he's never really one to say that out loud, but watching by what he does, he probably does think that things are a bit pricey.
Well, another fascinating discussion with Salejo. It's always nice to see you, man.
Thank you, Gareth.
Cool. Salejo Tsatsi is with Anthea Gardner in The Money Shot, and occasionally he comes in, stands in for her. And this week she's busy with other stuff, so we had the pleasure of spending some time with Salejo. Always good to see you. All right, it is 7 o'clock, and we will get to some news, talk to you about some of the things that are going on in the world, and maybe take a call or two from you. We had someone earlier explaining to us what it is that makes that St. George's Hotel the favorite place of the ANC. We still don't really know, except for, what did she say, the buffet?
Yes.
Right, but I don't know that the buffet is enough, so we will have to see. All right, we've got more of the interesting news, and we'll have some discussion, and we've got some breakdown and analysis of what's going on in the world. Also some stupid fun and some ridiculous stuff. You know how it goes. It's a Monday morning, cliffcentral.com. I hope you're off to a good start. Stick around for a whole lot of good stuff.
Up with it, girl. Rock with it, girl. Show them it, girl. Ba-da-bang-bang.
This is CliffCentral.com.